I'd like to take your Bibles and turn along with me as we look at another portion of God's Word. If you would turn over to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 18. Proverbs 16 verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. One of the things that we have to understand about sin and the nature of sin is that sin has a foundation that's oftentimes founded in pride. It's a motivator of many sins. Most sins, actually, when you start looking at it and trying to strip it down to say, what causes a person to do these particular things? Oftentimes, what you find at the base is pride. In 1 John chapter 2, John lists out various lusts, various motivations, things behind sins. And in John chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." We start looking at various sins. You go back to Genesis chapter 3. When Eve partook of the fruit that she was told not to eat of. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, pride was there. Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it its fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Actually, in that list, there is all three of the things that John listed, all three of the motivations for sin. But pride was a part of it. Pride was a factor in it. Pride causes us to go against God because oftentimes we stop thinking we need God. Take a look at Psalm 10. Psalm chapter 10. And in verse 4, "The wicked, in the haughtiness of his countenance, does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God." After all, why would you want to sin if you believed there was a God? If you understood that God required things of you and would hold you accountable to it, you wouldn't be very much motivated to sin. But oftentimes, when in our pride, we forget about God. Oh, we might give lip service to the fact that God exists. But a lot of times when we start sinning, we forget that God exists. The wicked also, then, in their pride, can act with contempt for other people. In Psalm 123, Psalm 123, and in verse 4, it says, "Be gracious," or sorry, verse 4, "Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." What is it that allows a person to do things that are harmful to somebody else? Because they don't think they're better than somebody else. That they have some right to do something to somebody else that might be harmful to another person. They hold other people in contempt. And pride comes into play. You know, the real core to the law is to love God and to love your neighbors. In fact, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." If you understand that, then you start to see why pride is behind so many sins. Because pride is against God. Because we forget about God. Pride is against our neighbors, as we think we're better than they are. There's no restraint, no self-restraint on behavior when pride enters into our lives. And God warns, if we're not careful, and we allow pride to exalt ourselves, we'll end up being humbled. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 11, Luke 14, verse 11, it says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2, one of those little books. Habakkuk chapter 2, and in verse 4, it says, "Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith." When pride enters your life, you cannot be righteous. It just doesn't work. Pride interferes with doing righteous things. Worse though is when pride gets in a person's life and they get caught up in sin. Pride also keeps that person from seeking out any help. Oftentimes we attribute that to young people. They think they know everything. They have everything they need to know. But even that expression is a source of pride. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he has not known what he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him." Knowledge makes a person arrogant. When you think you know it all, when you think you have it down pat, you don't seek help from other people. Pride gets into your way. In fact, some of the sources for false teaching in the background of it is pride. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4. Talking about the false teacher. It says, "He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about word, out of which arises envy, strife, abuse of language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth." This is what pride does to a person. They don't look at what they're teaching. They don't look at what they just know that they're right. And so they focus on things they want to say. And if someone points out that's wrong, oh, no, that can't be. And it's not limited to the young. We may pick on the young, but it's not limited to the young. See, when we think we have it, We really don't. When we think we have it all, we stop needing other people. In Proverbs 17 and in verse 19, says, "He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who raises his door seeks destruction." Some people just look for the controversy. The president of Coca-Cola was once asked, "What separates those who achieve from those who do not?" His answer was, "What separates those who achieve from those who do not is in direct proportion to one's ability to ask others for help." There's wisdom in multitude of counselors. But a lot of times we let pride in our way. We don't seek help. Pride also comes from abundance. Not just abundance of knowledge. Sometimes it's just abundance of things we possess. Over in Ezekiel chapter 16, the prophet here talks about what was behind the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Ezekiel 16 and verse 49, Ezekiel 16 verse 49 says, "Behold, this is the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease. But she did not help the poor and the needy. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw it." What was behind Sodom and Gomorrah? It was their pride. Where did that pride come from? Well, they had everything they ever needed. They had abundance. In fact, abundance oftentimes precedes rebellion. Over in Deuteronomy 32, Israel was warned of that same thing in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 15. It says, "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You have grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation." Moses is warning Israel, one of these days you're going to have it all. You're going to be comfortable with where you're at. You think you made it. And that's when you're going to start kicking against God. That's also why Jesus warned us that it's hard for a rich person to be saved. Because their wealth makes it such that they don't see much need for God. They have pride in their accomplishment. In Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Rich people have too much pride oftentimes because they have so much stuff. And they oftentimes don't look for God for help. And their very own pride destroys them. Strangely enough also, I've seen it not only that people with pride don't look for help. Oftentimes too, people, because of their pride and their arrogance, won't receive help either. I've seen the poor just as proud as the rich at times. I've seen poor people just turn their nose down at offers of help. If I accept aid, then that would be admitting I'm not good enough to solve my own problems. I've seen it in other cases too. Because if I say I need help, then it must mean I have a problem, and I don't have a problem. Pride gets in the way. And so the stubborn fall into calamity. In Proverbs 28, and verse 14. How blessed is a man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. It's just the nature of things. When you're prideful, you don't watch. When you're prideful, you sin. Either way, destruction lies in your path. And then what's sad is they oftentimes remain in their affliction because they continue in their pride to rebel against God and His teachings. In Psalm 107, starting at verse 10, it says, "There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and in chains, because they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High." Where do they get in their problems? Because they stayed in pride. It says, therefore, in verse 12, that He will humble their heart with labor. They stumbled, and there was none to help. That's because a lot of times they don't accept any help. And they stay there. Pride also gets in our way of learning. Because obviously if you know it all, there's nothing else to learn. Pride keeps people from learning wisdom. In Proverbs 8, starting with verse 13, says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and power is mine. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles and all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, and enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than the choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." Wisdom is there. Wisdom is available. You just have to seek it out. For pride interferes with that. To fear God, to have humility, it has to come first before you can learn. In Proverbs 15 and in verse 33, says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Back at the beginning of Proverbs, in chapter 1, there's a warning about not learning. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." What happens when you try teaching somebody who's full of pride? What you get back is a lot of scorn. You get rejected for all the efforts that you make. In Proverbs 21 and verse 24, says, "Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride." But the rejection out of learning, going back to Proverbs 1, I should have had you hold your finger there. That rejection of learning leads to calamity. In Proverbs 1, starting with verse 24, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. That's why the memory verse we had in Proverbs 3 is so important. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Going back to chapter 1 again in verse 5, another warning that's there. It says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. You don't often see a proud man asking for help. Whether safety and counsel, the fool always thinks he's right. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And without advice, people fall flat on their face. Consistently, often. In Proverbs 15 and verse 22, Proverbs 15 verse 22 says, but without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors they succeed. But what you find is when you've run into the proud persons, they won't take advice. They'll argue with you rather than to consider what you say. In Proverbs 13 and verse 10, through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. How sad it is to see people spiraling downward when the greatest body of wisdom and aid that's known to humankind is at their fingertips. But people in pride just won't ask for advice, nor will they take advice. Another reason why pride destroys a person is because it keeps you from being watchful. You know, it's really equally sad when you get to those I told you so moments. You know where they were going. You knew what the destruction was. Yet they wanted to walk into it anyway. You can tell somebody about the dangers ahead, and they might even agree with you in theory. But their pride makes them think, well, it's not going to happen to them. Notice the pleas in Proverbs. Going back to Proverbs 1 again. Look at a series of these. Proverbs 1 and verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are graceful wreaths to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Over in chapter 6, chapter 1 was warnings against bad influence. Chapter 6 in verse 20 is warnings about sexual seduction. And in verse 20 he says, Proverbs 6 verse 20, my son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. to keep you from the evil woman and from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And again in Proverbs 23. And look at verse 22. Proverbs 23, starting with verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give your ear, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways, for a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Despite all the urging, despite all the desire to pass on wisdom, some fall in the trap anyway. And how embarrassing is that? You knew the dangers there, but you fell into it anyway. And when you fall into those dangers because of your pride, guess what pride does to you? I'm not about to admit that I fell. Proverbs 11, and in verse 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But when the humble, with the humble, is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. It's pride that stands in the way. The idea, well, it will never happen to me. That's why in the passage just before the warning about temptation, in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. That's the very thing that Peter was warned about. There was a time when Peter, in his pride, thought he would never betray Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, Matthew 26 and verse 33, but Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing too. But if we go to the end of that chapter, Matthew 26, down to verse 74, Peter did deny the Lord that very night. In verse 74, he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. He wasn't watching for it. He thought he would never collapse. He had a bitter lesson to learn. Then, of course, there's also the pride and strength that keeps people from being watchful. Sure, I'll face temptation, but because I know it's there in advance, it won't be one that bothers me. I know what the dangers are, and so I can resist it. Go back again to Proverbs 7. In warning against this, the seductress, the evil and moral woman, knows what he says about her. Proverbs 7, verse 24. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me, and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. Depending on your translations, one of the translations of that passage is also, many are the mighty who have fallen. A lot of strong people have fallen into sexual sins. But that's because they're not that watchful. And probably one of the saddest things you can see is, despite all and the destruction it causes by pride, pride oftentimes keeps a person from turning back. That was Jeremiah's sorrow. In the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, starting with verse 37. Who is there who speaks, and it comes to pass, unless the Lord commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and ill go forth? Why should any living mortal or any man offer complaint in view of his sins? Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. We lift up our heart and hands toward God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered yourself with anger and pursued us, and you slain and have not spared. You covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You made us mere offscouring and refuge in the midst of the peoples. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Panic and pitfalls have befallen us. Devastation and destruction. My eyes run down with streams of water because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes pour down unceasingly without stopping until the Lord looks down and sees from heaven. My eyes bring pain to my soul because of all the daughters of my city. How sad it is when people will not turn back from the paths of destruction. And God has to punish. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 that unless we repent, we will all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13 and in verse 3 and also in verse 5. He says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, repentance means I've got to admit that I'm wrong. That means I've got to have to swallow some of my pride. I have to say that I'm not as good as I thought I was. But if I don't, I'll perish. God also requires that we confess. I have to be willing to admit that I was wrong. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John 1, starting with verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's only when we're ready to humble ourselves that God will finally raise us up. Last passage in James chapter 4. James 4, starting with verse 4. It says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is a hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scriptures speak to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit, which He has made to dwell in us. But He gives us greater grace. Therefore, it says God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. If we don't do something about pride in our lives, we'll destroy ourselves. I hope you think about those things tonight. If there's anyone here who's not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. If there's anyone here who is a child of God and would like the prayers of the brethren on their behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.